evening, if you would, and turn to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. And if you need a Bible this evening, there should be one in the pew rack in front of you, and you can find Romans chapter 1 on page 1583. Well, one of the things that we are excited about here tonight is we have five individuals who are going to be baptized here in a few minutes. One young lady and four men, and I am excited for them. And it's just an encouraging thing to see believers follow the Lord Jesus in baptism. And just to share for maybe some visiting with us, but as we understand the Bible to teach, baptism is a time when someone who has trusted Christ stands up in front of God's people and says by their willingness to do this, by their willingness to be baptized, they say in essence, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. And Jesus died to pay the penalty for my sins, and I am trusting in Him, and because of that I've been forgiven, and I've been born again, and my sin debt has been paid, and I have eternal life, and I want everyone to know that I belong to Jesus. And you know, I think it's kind of in a sense like a girl who gets engaged, and she enjoys showing people her ring, and letting them know that she's going to be married. In fact, baptism is often pictured, described as being like a wedding ring, right? A public display so everyone knows you're married. And I commented to a couple of my kids here the other day that, you know, this ring is almost never off my finger. I mean, you know, only if my finger is sore or something, and I'm just relieving a little pressure. But I sleep with it. I golf a lot, but when I golf with it. I shower with it, whatever. This ring is here. And that ring doesn't make me saved, or doesn't make me married, and it doesn't keep me married, but it is a testimony, just a public acknowledgement to anybody who happens to see it, that I am married. And baptism is like that. It doesn't make us saved, it doesn't keep us saved, but it is a way of standing up in front of people and saying, you know what, I want people to know that I am saved, that Jesus is my Savior, that He died for me, and that I belong to Him. And so, you know, baptism is an important step for a believer. And there's a lot of reasons why that is, but one of them is when you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you're doing something that demonstrates that you are not ashamed of Jesus. Now, we have just a short time tonight, but I want to challenge us for a few minutes with this thought. God is not ashamed of you. Are you ashamed of Him? And so if I shorten that up just a little bit for the title of this message, Christ is not ashamed, are you? So that's the question I want us to think about this evening. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I am thankful for the salvation that we can have in the Lord Jesus. I'm thankful that He was not ashamed to go to the cross for me, for each person here. Thankful that He gave His life and shed His blood so that we might be forgiven, we might be delivered from our sin, that we might receive new life in Him. And Father, I'm thankful that we're given the privilege of being His ambassadors to share the truth of who He is and what He has done with the lost world all around us. Father, I'm thankful for these five folks tonight who have trusted Jesus, and they want others to know. I pray, Father, that as we just spend a few minutes here in the Scripture tonight, that we would be challenged, that we would not be ashamed, that we would gladly, boldly, publicly, freely let all know that we belong to the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray if there would be someone here who has not trusted Jesus as their Savior, that You would use Your word to persuade them tonight that Jesus died for them too, and to receive Him as their Savior. So we ask Your blessing on this time we spend together in the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So really, we're not going to explain and thoroughly study out this text, but just I want us to begin looking at Romans 1. And verse 16, and really this, along with the verses right around it, are kind of a central message, kind of a focal point, kind of a theme here about this whole entire letter written to the Romans. But verse 16, Paul says this. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now, I just want us to think a little bit about this idea of shame and about being ashamed. You know, what makes a person feel ashamed? Well, let's just think of some practical things from daily life. You can learn a lot from the playground. When I was growing up as a kid, I grew up in a small town. Things were a little different than they are living in the suburbs and in the city. And we kind of, you know, in the summertime, I mean, when morning came, all the kids went out and they came back at the end of the day, you know, and where we went, who knows, you know, but the neighborhood kids, we just kind of got together, we did whatever we did. You know, well, picture a scenario where you've got the kid in the neighborhood who is the athlete, you know, he's the best at everything. And the new kid moves into the neighborhood and he is skinny and he is scrawny, you know, and he doesn't look very athletic. And the big kid is just kind of mocking him a little bit and telling everybody how much faster he is and stronger. And somewhere along the line, it comes along to the line that maybe they should have a race. And so the other kids set up the race, and they're going to run, you know, around this section of a couple of blocks and where they're going to run. And so the presumably fast kid and the new kid, they line up on the line. And someone says, "On your mark, get set, go." And off they go running. And that bully kid, you know, the one who's supposed to be the athlete, he is just left in the dust. And the new kid, the skinny kid, he runs and he just blows by him and he finishes 50, 100 yards ahead. A kid who was so pompous and who was so quick to announce his superiority, he's ashamed. He's concerned about what are people going to think? He feels like he's made a fool of himself. What are they going to say? Here's another example. Suppose you have a part in a play, and you've got just two lines, right? Some people have pages and pages and chapters. You've got two lines, and everybody practices, and they practice, and they practice, and you get up there, and things are going along just swimmingly, and everything is going smoothly, and the audience is enraptured, and now it comes your turn for your two lines. Just two lines, and the time comes, and it's... You just draw a blank. I tell the people that I baptize, I have them write down their name on a 3x5 card. So when they step into the baptistry, when I look at somebody that I've looked at hundreds of times before, I don't draw a blank on their name. Sometimes I forget my own kids' names, all right? So, you know, but you get up there and you just forget. And people are kind of snickering and you feel ashamed. What will people think? What are people going to say? You're so embarrassed. Or maybe you're a person who puts a lot of stock in how you look. You know, everything needs to be just the way that it's supposed to be. And you're supposed to go to the office Christmas party, and it's an important time to meet some of the higher-ups. And you get this email, and somebody says it's one of those ugly sweater contests, right? You're supposed to wear the ugliest Christmas sweater. So you find this ugly, ugly Christmas sweater, and you walk into that office party, and you find out that somebody must be playing a trick on you because everyone else is dressed up, and your boss is there in a suit, and there you are with a string of Christmas lights around your neck. You're ashamed. You're embarrassed. What are people going to think? Folks, we tend to, just as part of our fleshly human condition, we tend to get ashamed when we think that there's something happening that we have done or will do or should do that puts us in a bad light. We feel like others are going to think less of us because of something going on in our lives. That's the nature of being embarrassed, of being humiliated, of being ashamed. Now, let's bring this to then Christian context. You're standing around the proverbial water cooler at the office, so to speak, and one of your coworkers is mocking Christians, and he's saying, you know, I don't need a crutch like that. This religion is for the weak. This is for, you know, ignorant people. How could you ever believe something like that? And the question is, what do you do? Do you slink away? Do you mumble something about people having different perspectives? Or do you unashamedly announce that you're a Christian, that you believe in Jesus, and that you'd love to talk about it. Folks, when Paul says in Romans 1:16 that he is not ashamed of the gospel, is that because preaching the gospel puts him in a good light and makes people think well of him? Quite the contrary. Right? You think about Paul's life. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, in labors more abundant, in stripes, in other words, stripes from being beaten above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've spent in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. And he goes on from there, but Paul says, you know what? Because of my testimony for Christ, you know, people don't think so well of me. A lot of people respond really, really negatively. And Paul's way of not being ashamed was not that he would try to keep himself looking in the best light. It wasn't that he would adjust what he did so that people wouldn't think less of him. Paul simply set that aside and determined that he was going to unashamedly proclaim the truth of the gospel. A couple of verses earlier, verse 14, Paul says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, to the intellectuals and those who are not so intellectual. He says, I'm a debtor to all of them, and the debt I have is to share the gospel with them, and I'm not ashamed of that gospel because that's what's going to save them. That's what's going to transform their lives. That's what's going to bring them to know God, the real God, in the right way. And he says, I'm not ashamed. When Paul looked out on the huge world of unbelief in his day, he felt a debt to all. And he didn't try to ingratiate himself to people. He didn't look down on people. He didn't try to minimize what he said. Rather, he was just overwhelmed that, you know what? They need to hear the gospel. And so he shared that gospel with everyone. But just like today, most of them didn't want his message of love and grace. But Paul still proclaimed the message. And you know, if you think about it, really, the preaching of the gospel does many things. But it does these two things. One is it brings out shaming in behavior in those who won't believe it. They're going to want to mock and minimize and demean someone who is a vibrant Christian because they are rejecting of it. That's something that most of us have experienced in some measure or another. But secondly, the truth of the gospel gives freedom from shame to those who do believe it. Because Paul could look past his circumstances and what other people thought and realize that, you know what, I'm a child of God. I have eternal life. Yeah, I have every spiritual privilege that God has granted to me. And as much as I want these people to believe, what drives me is not what they think of me, but it's that chance to share with them the gospel. Paul says, I am not ashamed. He experienced the pushback and the resistance, but he kept preaching. You know, Paul was like Jesus. Jesus was abandoned by his friends. He was falsely accused of blasphemy and other things. He was beaten with rods. He was ridiculed. He was taunted. He was stripped of his clothes. He was scourged with a whip. He was tortured in public. He was made to look like a fool as people hollered at him, you saved others, why don't you save yourself? And how do you face the shaming accusations of those who are enemies of God? Here's how Jesus handled it. Hebrews 12:2 says this. Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus despised the shame. He refused to let it affect what he did. He refused to be ruled by the shame. And how could he do that? How can you do that? Well, the end of that verse, Hebrews 12:2, says that Jesus did it for the joy that was set before him. Shame was stripping away every earthly support that Jesus had. But that didn't matter. He discounted the shame, knowing that very soon he would sit down at the right hand of the throne of God, knowing the joy that by his death on that cross, many would be saved, many would be brought to know God. Though Jesus was being shamed by others, he was not ashamed of his God and Father who had the power to save him from death and give him all-satisfying glory at his right hand forever. And let me just point this thought out too, and we'll finish up here soon. But Jesus was not ashamed to identify with us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Writer of Hebrews says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. For the suffering of death, he was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." So Jesus accepted human form. At the incarnation, that's what we rejoice in at Christmas. He became human flesh, right? He always was God. From eternity past, he became flesh and dwelt among us. And he suffered death. He tasted death for every man. Verse 10 of Hebrews 2 says, "For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things." He was the creator and the one in whom all glory resides, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he, that is Jesus, is not ashamed to call them, to call us, his brethren. And we began by talking about baptism, and that's where we're gonna finish up here in a few minutes. But remember when Jesus was baptized? Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Matthew chapter 3 tells us that John was baptizing sinners. And people were being baptized repenting of their sins. And Jesus, the sinless Son of God, comes and John doesn't know him, but he knows him. And he says, "Listen, you know, I'm baptizing sinners. I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me." And Jesus says, "John, listen, it's part of God's plan. It's necessary to fulfill all righteousness that you would baptize me." And so John agrees to do it. But why was Jesus baptized? Well, there's a number of reasons, but here's the one I want us to think about tonight. Jesus was baptized in order to identify with sinners. You know, he's in the line there, if you will, with other sinners who are being baptized, repenting of their sins. Now, his baptism was different. He had no sins to repent of. He had no conversion that he needed to undergo. He was the sinless Son of God, but yet he willingly identified himself with sinners. Was baptized with sinners. Jesus lived among sinners. He ate with sinners. He healed sinners. He preached to sinners. He helped sinners. He loved sinners. At times, he even wept over the stubborn unbelief of sinners. More than that, Jesus died for sinners. He allowed himself to be nailed to the cross by sinners. And he did so unashamedly, despising the shame, so that we might have life. And so, folks, my question for us is, why then are we so easily and often ashamed of him? He's the Son of God. He is one who condescended to identify with us and to go to the cross for us. And we are sadly all too often ashamed of him. Why are some people reluctant to get baptized? You know, part of being baptized is identifying with Jesus. And people sometimes are reluctant to do that. And we've talked about, you know, at other times, some of the different reasons behind that. But sometimes it's people are just ashamed to do it. It's that, well, what will somebody think, you know? I'll tell you what God's people will think. Praise the Lord! I tell you what God and the angels will say. They will say, "This is a day of rejoicing." You know, and if there are unbelieving people who want to belittle that, so be it. We need to despise that shame and be unashamed of a Savior who died for us, and unashamed of the gospel message by which we are saved. Christ is not ashamed of you. Are you ashamed of him? Here's another text. Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells us that God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now, it's talking in particular about the patriarchs, people who lived lives of faith. But, folks, it applies to us, to any of us who have trusted in Christ. God is not ashamed to be called your God. Why are you sometimes ashamed to be called his child? Folks, we need to face the pushback against the gospel the way that Paul did. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And realizing that it is the power of God to transform us, to save us, to give us new life. We need to resist the temptation of the world, the enticement. You know, there's something in us that resonates and wants to be just like the world around us. And we don't want to be thought too odd, too peculiar, too radical, too Christian. You know, there's something in our flesh that just kind of wants to be, we're okay with being, people can know I'm a Christian, but not too much of one. Not too extreme. You know, I just kind of want to be an ordinary blotto Christian. And folks, that is so wrong. We need to be so honest about it. God calls us to be unashamed of who He is. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:26 that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That's really akin to that statement where Jesus despised the shame because he looked past it to the joy and to eternity. Moses looked past the comforts of the world and said, you know what? Being reproached with Christ, with God, is there's many riches associated with that, far more important than the comforts of this world. Folks, we need to stop being ashamed. We have the example of Moses. We have the example of Paul. We have especially the Spirit of Jesus, who despised the shame of the cross, and instead looked ahead to all that it would accomplish. Folks, Christ is not ashamed of you. Are you ashamed of Him? In a moment, we're going to slip out here, those who are being baptized and myself, and they're going to stand up and they're going to answer that question, at least for tonight, and I hope as a pattern of life going forward. No, I am not ashamed of Jesus. I belong to Him. Last thought before I conclude here tonight. Each of those people, as I baptize them tonight, I'm going to say this as they go under the water. I'm going to say, buried with Him in the likeness of His death. And then as they come up out of the water, I'm going to say, raised to walk in newness of life. And those are expressions that come from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. And these words describe what God has done already in their lives. I don't want anybody to be mistaken and think that by going in some water and coming up out of the water, that somehow or other, that is what transforms a person. You know what? These five people that we're baptizing, the transformation is already in process. They've already been saved. They've already received new life in Christ. And what they're doing in baptism is declaring to all of you, this is what Christ is doing in my life. This is what Jesus has done for me. You know, I'm dead to sin because Christ went to the cross for it to pay for my sin. And we're buried with Him in the likeness of His death, but we don't stay under the water. I have yet to baptize somebody and have them still be in the water, right? They go under and they come back up because just as Jesus went into the grave, He came out of the grave, He rose again. And when we have new life in Christ, we're raised to walk in newness of life, a new life, a changed life, a transformed life, the Christ life, the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And these five people, irrespective of their age, irrespective of their gender, irrespective of the circumstances of life, this they all have in common. They have trusted Jesus as their Savior. They're not here saying, you know, I'm better than anybody. They're not here saying, I've done enough to be deserving of God's good pleasure towards me. Quite the contrary. Their baptism is a testimony that, you know what, I am a sinner, but Jesus died for me. And my sins have been forgiven. And I have new life in Him. And now by God's grace, I want to go forth living out that new life, demonstrating to others the transforming work of Jesus. That's what baptism is about. And why are these five folks doing this? Because Jesus wasn't ashamed of them. He went to the cross for them. He went to the cross for me. He went to the cross you. And these folks don't want to be ashamed of Him. So let me just make a concluding appeal. If you say, I'm a believer, I have trusted Jesus as my Savior, not by the works of righteousness that I've done, but according to the mercy of God and the grace of God and the completed work of Jesus when He went to the cross and gave His life for me, I'm a believer. And I know that Jesus is not ashamed of me. And so let me ask you to be honest before the Lord and say, am I sometimes ashamed of Him? And ask God for the grace and the courage and the strength. and the willingness to have that perspective that looks beyond what people are going to say or what people are going to think and says, listen, what matters is God. What matters is the relationship that I have with Christ. That is all in all. And I ought to have that same burden that Paul had. Debtor to Greeks and barbarians. Debtor to all men and all women that I want to share with them what Jesus has done for them if they'll receive it, just as he's done for me. So let me ask you to be honest about that. Maybe you'd say, I'm a believer, but I've never been baptized by immersion as a believer. You know, being sprinkled as a baby is not the same thing as being baptized as a believer the way the Bible described. And maybe you need to step up tonight and say, you know what? The next time we have baptisms, I want to be part of that. I don't want to be ashamed of Christ. I want to stand up and declare that he is my Savior and I belong to him. Last thought is maybe there's someone here tonight and all of this is kind of new to you. You're not even sure what all this means to be saved or to be born again. And dear person, we would love to show you from the Scripture. You know what? The Bible says that you can know that your sins are forgiven and that you can know you have eternal life because it isn't about how much you have done or what you need to do. It's about simply realizing that, you know what? Jesus died for me. And I just desperately need his gracious forgiveness. And I need to be seen by God with the righteousness of Christ, not my own righteousness. That's just as filthy rags. I don't measure up, but Jesus does. And I can trust in him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we're just going to have a time of invitation. So let me ask you to go ahead, if you wouldn't, stand to your feet.